Man, I'm not going to hold you too long, I guarantee you, because I'm already sweating. But I want to talk to you we just have a little Bible study here, and I hear these guys talking about the Great Commission. I hear them saying all this thing. I want you to turn with me, and I want you to look with me in Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Now notice what he says. He appears unto them, and just to establish the timeline here of what we're going to be talking about, God has given you a commission as a member of the body of Christ. And I dare say you could go to most people that go to church and ask them, what is your commission? What did the Lord give you to send out? What is your great commission? And there have been books wrote about it, and you hear these, especially missionaries, talk about it, the Great Commission. Well, God gave you a commission. But I guarantee you can go to most people in the churches today and ask them to show, you ask them, do you know what your commission is? And I guarantee you they couldn't tell you the right one. And try it. Try it out. Ask them. But before you ask them, you should know what it really is yourself. Now notice in Mark chapter 16, verse 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices, and they that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. So we know it's the first day of the week after the Sabbath. It's Sunday morning. Okay? Look with me. He appears unto them. Verse 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as he sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Remember, the ladies go and tell them that he's risen. Peter and John run down to the tomb, and they go in and they look. But what Mary told them, first off, that they'd stolen the body of Jesus. And so they go down there and they look. And then he appears unto Mary by herself, and then unto Peter, and then unto the 11. And he said unto them, verse 15, go ye. Now here's the commission. It's sending them out. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now that sounds good, doesn't it? Notice verse 16. He that believeth that gospel that they're preaching and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, how could you tell whether or not somebody believes? Now, we're talking, they say, well, it's the belief that's important. Well, okay, let's say it is important. How would you know whether they believed or not? Well, look in Luke. Just hang on to Mark and come over to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. Verse 28. Luke 7:28. For I say unto you, among those that are born of a women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. and all the people that heard him, John, and the publicans, justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God. How do you know? Against themselves. How do you know they did? Being not baptized of him. Now, the baptism of John, you're in Mark. Just turn back to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. So the evidence of them not believing would be not being baptized. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Verse 4, look in Mark chapter 1, verse 4. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for what? The remission of sins. And so, if they didn't repent, they wouldn't get baptized. If they didn't change their mind, they wouldn't be baptized. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, verse 17 is the kicker. Mark 16, 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Not follow them that preach. Follow them that believe. The signs follows those that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Not maybe, not might, shall recover. Now you want to see where this commission is? Now Jesus Christ dies in back here at the end of his life. And at the end of Matthew, you have Matthew through John. And at the end of each of those books, he gives them a commission. And I'm taking Mark, but we'll look at the rest of them, and then he dies. This commission here in Mark 16 is fulfilled in the book of Acts. It's the Acts commission. Look what he said. Verse 19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven. Where did that happen? Acts chapter 1. They're standing up and they see him go up. And they're walking, and two men in white apparel stands by and says, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who you seen go away shall in like manner come again." They're standing there watching him ascend up. This commission in Mark 16, it's right there, right before he goes up. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Verse 20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. And that would be in Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5. And the water baptism had to be, it was a work of faith. So that in Acts chapter 2, you look at it over there, in Acts 2, notice in verse 37, Acts 2, 37, now when they heard this, the message of Peter, they were pricked in the heart, said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In other words, they'd have to get baptized, and that baptism was a sign of their true acceptance of the message. But wait a minute. In Mark 16, he said, go preach the gospel to every creature. And then he ascends up into heaven, Acts 1. So I know that when he's talking to them in Mark 16, it's Acts chapter 1, right before his ascension. And he says, go and preach the gospel to every creature. Folks, the gospel that saved you hadn't been revealed yet. And they didn't know but one gospel, and that was the gospel of the kingdom. And the gospel of the kingdom, you had to get baptized. For instance, look back in Matthew chapter 16. I'll tell you what, go to Matthew 10 first. Matthew 10. Matthew chapter 10. And when he had, verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And he names the 12 there. Come to verse 5. And these 12 Jesus sent forth, commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and in any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They're preaching the good news of the kingdom. Come over to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 22. Matthew 15:22. Now, folks, this is what Paul said. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The reason why people don't know this Bible is because they don't rightly divide the Bible. And they just go to church thinking that God's going to smile on them because they went to church. They're trusting in their works to get them saved. Folks, you are not going to heaven because you're a good person. You're not going to heaven because you come here to Charity Bible. You're going to heaven. If you go to heaven, you're going because Jesus Christ died for you on that cross and you receive Him as your Savior. And you trust that. Everybody in this building's trusting something. You're trusting something to get you out of this world. You're either, like your president said, he believed if he got done good and lived a good life, his belief was that he would be rewarded someday. He will be rewarded someday, but it won't be the reward that he's looking for. There is only one way, and I stress it, one way. Jesus said, I am the way. No man can come unto me except the Father that sent me draw him. And in him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father but by me. So you've got to come to Jesus Christ, receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior to get to the Father. And if you come to the Lord as a sinner, He will not cast you out. You can't get so bad that God wouldn't save you. God don't save good people anyway. He saves bad people. He throws the good people out. You say, well, that's just stupid. The wisdom of this world's foolishness to him. God came into this world. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You a sinner? If you ain't a sinner, God won't save you. And the Bible said we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. This is the gospel that brings salvation to people. Christ died for your sins and was buried, and He arose the third day. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Junk your religion. Your religion will damn your soul. Your religion will take you to hell. Your good works will take you to hell. Jesus Christ done it all. He paid for all of your sins. And you know something? I was listening to Brother Moore today. I don't know if you listened to him or not, but he made a great statement about the law. How that the law was nailed to the cross. And Romans 3 said, where there's no law, sin is not imputed. And God has no law when it comes to you as a believer in Christ's trust, and you're in, then there is no law against you. And where there's no law, sin is not imputed. God does not judge you as a member of the body of Christ. Why? He judged His Son back in A.D. 33. There ain't nothing that's going to separate us. But anyway, look in Matthew. You come in verse 22. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto Him, saying, have mercy on me. O Lord, Thou Son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But He answered her not a word. But His disciples came and besought Him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But He answered and said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This woman had a legitimate complaint. She wanted some help. She needed some help. And our Lord just ignored her. Didn't pay no attention to her. Look what He said. He said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then came she and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, help me. And He said unto, and He answered and said, it's not meet, it's not right, it's not fit to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. The children's bread's the gospel of the kingdom that they've been preaching. And she said, truth, Lord, yet dogs eat the crumbs which fall from her master's table. And she took her rightful place, and He helped her. The point being, He's not sent back here unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He wouldn't have touched you with a 10-foot pole. People say, well, I wish I'd lived back in Jesus' day. He wouldn't have had nothing to do with you. Why? Because He's coming to the lost sheep of the house of Israel preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And He sent His 12 out to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Now look in Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Verse 21. Look back in verse 15. He said unto them, the 12, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Notice in verse 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto His disciples how that He must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. He's going to die, He's going to be buried, He's going to be raised third day. Then Peter took Him and began to say, praise God, Lord, I'm glad You're going to die on the cross for me and be resurrected for me. Is that what Peter said? Now you've got to realize they've been preaching for 3 years. Then Peter took Him and began to rebuke Him, saying, be it far from Thee, Lord, this, Your death, the things You told us, this shall not be unto Thee. Look how Luke puts it in Luke chapter 18. Luke 18. Notice in verse Luke 18, verse 31. Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem. All things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spit on. And they shall scourge him and put him to death. And the third day he shall arise again. And they understood all things. Is that what it says? And they understood none of these things. And this saying was hid from them. Neither knew they the things which were spoken. Folks, they didn't understand nothing about the death and the burial and the resurrection. Okay, so he's up there in Matthew chapter 24. In Matthew 24. Look what he said in verse 13. Matthew 24:13. They've been preaching for 3 years. This is right before he goes to the cross. Over 3 years. And they didn't know the gospel that you and I know. Matthew 24, he said, verse 13, But he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. That's tribulation. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. And he continues on down, and he goes through chapter 25. And in chapter 26 is the end of what he started in 24. Chapters 24, 25 is the same time. Chapter 26, And it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sins, he said unto his disciples, Ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed and crucified. 2 days before he goes to the cross, he tells them the gospel of the kingdom must be preached. And in Acts chapter Go ye in all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. 5 days after he said that in Mark. Are y'all with me? Mark is in Acts chapter 1, right before he ascends up. 5 days ago, he told them the gospel of the kingdom. Where in the world does people get idea that Mark 16, when it says, Go preach the gospel of every creature, that he's talking about the gospel of his death, burial, resurrection. They didn't know it then. In this heart, in Acts 1, they still didn't know it. They're preaching the gospel of the circumcision, the gospel of the kingdom. And it had to do with getting baptized for purification. Hang on there and come over to John. Look in John chapter 3. Now you see how people get fouled up in this book? You mess with the book and God messes with your mind. You know that? You know the trouble? People just, it ain't that they don't understand. It's that they don't believe. Now look in John chapter 13. John chapter 13. This is the greatest book you've got in your house. And I guarantee you, a lot of people, it's the most unread book in the house. Well, some of you read your phone book more than you read this book, Bible. Most of you spend more time flipping through J.C. Penney's catalog than you do this book. You say, oh, you've gone from preaching to meddling now. Well, it don't hurt to stir the pot a little bit. People need to wake up. Listen to me. It's not going to be too long from now before you're standing at the judgment seat of Christ. Things are rapidly coming to pass. And I want you to stand there with rewards. Get in this book. Look in John chapter 3. Notice in John chapter 3, verse 25. Well, let's go back to verse 22. And after these things came Jesus and His disciples unto the land of Judah, and there He tarried with them, and what? Is Jesus down there with His disciples? What are they doing? Huh? What in the world are they baptizing for? People say, well, it shows forth the death, burial, and resurrection. Not to them boys it don't. They didn't know nothing about it. But they're down there doing it. Look down verse 23. John also was baptizing in Enon near Salem, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. John was not yet cast into prison. Verse 25. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about what? Now, what are they doing? Now, what does baptizing do? Verse 3. And they came, and here's their question now. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizes, and all men come to him. And John answered. That was their question. Why is he getting more to baptize than you're getting? Purification. The gospel of the kingdom. If they believed the message of John, if they believed the message of the 12, they would be baptized. Folks, they're baptizing in that ministry back here with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Look in John chapter 4, verse 1. Then therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus Himself baptized not, but His disciples. Was no doubt in my mind, He baptized His disciples, and His disciples was baptizing everybody else. John baptized Jesus. He baptized Him not for sin, but for manifestation to the Son of God to Israel, and to fulfill all righteousness of the law. Oh, man. That's why it's so ridiculous when you nail it down and see this book. Back in Mark chapter 16, this commission. I'm telling you, Mark 16, when he's saying, go into all the world, preach the gospel of every creature, he's standing on the Mount of Olives. He's fixing to ascend back up. And the Bible says, signs followed. In verse 20, and they went forth. After they saw Him go up, He told them. Look in Luke. Back in Luke. Let's try again. I've got to go. I'm going to try to get you out of here in 6 more minutes. It'd be 11:30. All right? Y'all hot? It's funny. People won't go hear the Word of God very long and hot. But you'll go out and you'll pray and you'll sit around an old game somewhere and sweat and melt and just melt away and just spend 2 or 3 hours in the hot sun. Oh, my God. I felt that go over there. But you know, I'm the same way. I think North Iredale football field on the bleacher side when the sun's up is the hottest place this side of you know where. In the evenings, it's hot. You sit over there and you sit over there and you're sweating. I just sit there and I love it. But I'm going to try to let you out of here because I know it's getting, I don't want you to get uncomfortable. Look what he said. Notice what he said. He appears unto the 11. They arose the same day. Chapter 24, Luke 1, verse 1, now upon the first day of the week, so we know it's about the time period. They arose up the same hour, verse 33, returned to Jerusalem, found the 11. Come on, he appears unto two of them, Mayors, verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was with you. All things must be fulfilled, which were written of the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. He opened then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. So that you bet your everything you got, they understood what was going on. He opened their minds up. Verse 46, and he said unto them, thus it is written, thus it behooves Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning where? Jerusalem, where they was at. And ye are witnesses of these things. And he said, verse 49, behold, I send you the promise of the Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, until you be endued with power from on high. This commission has to do with power. It has to do with being the Holy Spirit coming upon them and empowering them. It ain't got nothing to do with you. Turn over to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Verse 1, the first day of the week. John chapter 20. He appears unto them. The doors are shut. Verse 21, he said unto them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Well, they got it right there. You know what they got on the day of Pentecost? They got the power. They were filled on the day of Pentecost. Paul says, be not drunk on my wine, where in excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. He said in Colossians 3:16, he said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Folks, you know what being filled today is? Being, having the control, the Spirit of controlling you by the Word of God. But in Peter and them's day, they had all knowledge. They were controlled. Their thoughts, their actions was controlled by the Spirit of God. And he said in verse 22, and when he had said that, breathe, don't receive you today. Now watch it. Verse 23, and whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. You don't have that power. You don't know nobody. You can't say your sins is remitted and your sins is retained. You don't have all knowledge, but they did after they had that power. That's where the Catholicism gets the priest can forgive sins. Right out of John. We say, this was for their ministry in here. So I got Mark 16. I got John 20. I got Luke 24. This one's power, beginning at Jerusalem. John 20 has to do with them receiving the Spirit and then them going out in power, being able to tell a man his sins was forgiven or they're not. I don't know if you're saved or not. I can't tell what's in your heart, but they could. Ananias come to Peter bringing a gift, and he said, why is Satan tempted thee to lie to the Holy Ghost? He knew Ananias was lying. Nobody told him. Why? The Spirit of God told him. Well, where's the Great Commission? Matthew. Matthew 28. Go and teach all nations. Got two more minutes. Look in Matthew. Matthew 28. Where's this commission going to be filled out? Over here. Antichrist is going to come. Tribulation in here. Second coming over here. Kingdom over here. 1,000-year reign of Christ. Matthew 28, verse 1, the end of the Sabbath, began to dawn toward the first day of the week, so we know the time. Verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Well, what did he teach? He said, teaching them to observe all things. Well, what did he teach them? What did Jesus Christ teach the disciples? Well, look back in Matthew chapter 5. Take Matthew chapter 5, verse 19. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. And Deuteronomy 6:25 says, the keeping of that law is their righteousness. Well, then I know Matthew 28 here, he wanted them to keep the law. But Paul says we're dead to the law. Well, I know this commission is going to fit over here. Matthew 28 over here, into the kingdom out here, and they're going to be law. He said, first turn to Matthew 23. Matthew chapter 23, verse 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. And do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. Folks, that's the law. That commission in Matthew there, they're to teach all nations the law. And the law that Jesus gave them in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. The kingdom law. But you're not under the law. What is your commission? Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I'm going to close with this. I know none of you as hot as I am, I know. Guarantee you. Notice this. You glad we're going to get an air conditioner? This is a good selling point on this, ain't it? Notice what he said in verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Verse 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And folks, that was accomplished on the cross. Reconciliation's back here. It's preaching of the cross. We have a gospel that was revealed to the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9, and that gospel is the power of God unto what? Unto salvation. And Paul said that men deny that power, having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. How do they deny? By preaching all this other than not that. By trying to get men saved through other gospels and other means instead of God's way. The Bible says the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. By the foolishness of preaching he is to save them that believe. Ryder, is that Ryder or is that Cade? Ryder, you ready to go? You gonna go outside? Ryder said,